Dear Barbara, Danny, Cindy, Angela, Tony, family members, brothers, fellow saints, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Son gives life. Jesus declares in our text this morning, life was given to Kurt Marquardt at his baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Kurt's life on this earth began and ended at the baptismal font. These past days, you have all given thought to the impact that Kurt has had on your lives and the lives of the church. Kurt's life in many ways illustrated Luther's observation that a man may yield or compromise nothing in matters of the faith, the doctrine of God's word, but that he may give and relinquish everything in matters of love and service to the neighbor. We pray for these two things when we receive the Blessed Sacrament, that he may strengthen us in faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another. Today we give thanks for the many blessings God has given to his church in the matters of faith through his servant Kurt. He was, from his ordination to the very end, a preacher of the gospel, a steward of the mysteries of God. God also appointed him to be a teacher of the church, to train men in God's word for the service of the preaching office, and to teach the one pure gospel to fellow Christians in our land and throughout the world. Many of you men here bear the mark of his teaching and example in your own ministry. Kurt was a staunch and uncompromising contender for the pure faith that has been handed down to us, not only in this country and Australia, but also in every continent, in his many travels, and in many languages. He was an apologist, a defender against the world's assault on Christianity from evolution, communism, abortion, and other such ungodly philosophies of man. And time and again, his labors have stirred our prayers, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Strengthen us in faith toward thee. Kurt has now joined the great heavenly cloud of witnesses. His service of the gospel now re-echoes the word of God for each of us. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Fight the good fight of faith. By God's grace, stand firm and strong and bold in your confession of the faith. In matters of faith, Kurt was articulate and unyielding. But in matters of love and service, Kurt was willing to give what he could to the very end, imperfect as it may have been. He illustrated that to partake of the divine nature, as St. Peter teaches, is to partake of divine love, and so also to bear that love in service to the neighbor. I do not need to remind you how his vocation as a pastor and teacher consumed him in studies and teaching, writing and travel. Many of you remember his personal gentle kindnesses even to those who were in opposition. His experience as a refugee prepared him for understanding and love to those of different cultures and races and economic conditions. His home provided hospitality and love to so many. He freely gave to those in need. His life testified to the love of God which had been freely given to him. Here also, the life of Kurt stands as an example and reminder that we have been called to a life of service and love to our neighbor in this world. Carry out your vocation, your calling in life, wherever God has placed you, not for yourself, but for those others God has given to you. The example of Kurt's faithfulness and love and purity of doctrine is an icon of God's grace in our own lives. God grant you the grace to imitate that which is good and holy in his life, both in faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another. We have this day, in part, gathered because we wish to honor a man who is great in the Lord's service. Surely he would have been embarrassed by these honors, preferring that you hear the echo of the words of John the Baptist, "He must increase, but I must decrease." The voice of Kurt pointed to the crucified Christ, as does the voice of our text. The Son gives life. We confess with the disciples, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We despair of the merit and worthiness of the man and look to the word of Christ. The honor we give to Kurt for his life of faith and love belongs to the Son of God alone, who forgives the sinner and gives life to the dead. Only the sinner needs forgiveness. Only the dead needs life. Kurt was a sinner. He ministered to and loved many sin-burdened people. But he counted himself as one of them, as one of us. Kurt shared with each of us the complete unworthiness and guilt before God that we have inherited from our father Adam, the disease of sin to which we have added daily, sin upon sin, in the sin and deadness of our hearts and lives. In the words of Jesus today, he was dead in sin. We too were dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus is speaking to us. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The ever-present illustration of our own sinful condition lies before us today in death. The wages of sin is death. But this conviction, this certainty of the righteous judgment of sin and guilt makes urgent God's forgiveness in Christ. The forgiveness Pastor Marquardt gave to you in sermon and sacrament, the forgiveness that Professor Marquardt taught to you in the classroom, was the forgiveness which was so dear to him, the sinner. You will understand the life of Kurt Marquardt only if you believe the forgiveness of your own sins in Christ Jesus. Sin brings about death. So the remedy to death is the forgiveness of sin. Only the forgiveness of sins can give true life, everlasting life. Only this certainty of forgiveness can give comfort in the face of death, comfort to the grieving heart, consolation to the troubled mind, and peace to the burdened conscience. Kurt died with the word of forgiveness in his ears. On the night of his death, Pastor Peterson absolved him and the family, and then preached to us that wonderful gospel of the forgiven paralytic. "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Forgiveness gives life. Kurt hungered and thirsted for the rich and daily forgiveness of sins in gospel and sacrament. As great as his hunger for righteousness, even greater was the satisfaction of that hunger in the gifts of our Lord, for they shall be filled. I remind you, grieving family and grieving church, that you share a common forgiveness and life with Kurt in this gospel and in the sacraments. To partake of these is to partake of life itself. The Son gives life. Jesus promised, "The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." In the blessed gospel of forgiveness, In the richness of his justifying gifts, you share a common life with Kurt and with all who live and die in Christ. The Son gives life. These are not empty words. In this gospel, Jesus declares his power to make the dead alive. This life was his from before time began, the common possession of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who also is the Lord and giver of life. Jesus declares, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Jesus, the eternal Son of God, has shared in the Father's life from eternity. And now in time, as man, he continues to be fully vested with the life of the eternal Father. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And thus came the great battle of life and death that is our comfort in the hour of death. It is a battle that took place in our mortal flesh, in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. He is life. And so Luther's great Easter hymn, it was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life, the reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith, that death was swallowed up by death. Its sting is lost forever. Alleluia. Dear friends, at the death of Kurt, in your grieving, you feel death. Sharp and irresistible and hateful. Be comforted. Our Lord felt it too. At Lazarus' tomb, Jesus wept, feeling the pain and loss that is our death. On the cross, he tasted death for us and for our sins. Then he committed himself into the Father's hands. Jesus killed death by dying. He brought life to life by living again, eternal life, free from death and sin and all suffering and temptation. The Son gives life. This is the life of the Son of God, which he gives you on this day in the announcement of his grace and forgiveness. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. This life is eternal, so that our brother Kurt in death is also Kurt in life. And this body of death will also be made to live forever, changed and glorified according to the power of Jesus' word. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. You already know the outcome of that judgment. For the righteousness and goodness of Christ was declared and given to Kurt in this life, in the forgiveness of his sins. And we will all rejoice in this grace on the day of the resurrection of all flesh. The Son gives life. My dear friends, hold fast to this word in your loss today, for sorrow and doubt and fear will still surround you in the days ahead, just as it did for the disciples at the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every death seems to linger in our lives and leave behind things that appear unfinished. Unfinished words of love or forgiveness, unfinished deeds, unfinished lives together. You know how it was with Peter and the disciples at the death of Jesus. Dear family of Kurt, each of you will inevitably recall words and deeds and experiences that seem to you still unsaid and undone. If only I had said or done this or that. And it is no different for you all, the church militant, in the continuing church struggle of this present hour. Kurt's work of teaching and preaching and defending the faith is still unfinished. Our long-suffering Lutheran church still cries out, "How long?" But the answer to our own unfinished lives is encompassed in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord. At his death, his alone, he declared, "It is finished." The work of our forgiveness and life and salvation is finished in the death of Christ. We have in our baptism died with Christ, and all that we have left unsaid and undone at death is truly finished in his death. Life eternal follows his death, and in the end, the final completion of all things. In Christ alone we find peace in the midst of our continuing struggles. What seems incomplete in the loss of Kurt's life is finished in the death and resurrection of Christ and in the gospel of his salvation. The Son gives life. God himself illustrated this truth to Kurt's family in the hours before his death. Kurt's last official act as a pastor was to baptize his great-grandson, Evan. Though weak, he spoke loudly and clearly those watery words by which we have all been made to live. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Son gives life to Evan in that baptism. The earthly life of one baptized child of God was ending while another is just beginning. Baptism into Christ binds the two of them together beyond the grave. Son gives life. After hearing the gospel of the little children and baptizing Evan, after being absolved of our sins and hearing the gospel of the forgiven paralytic in the service that followed, Kurt and family ate and drank the Lord's Supper. We who are daily sick and dying in our sins received the immortal medicine upon which we all live, even beyond our death, the true and blessed body and blood of the ever-living Christ. Jesus' promise comforts us in this blessed gospel. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Here, dear friends, is our abiding comfort and joy. The forgiveness and life of Christ, which we receive in baptism and word and supper, is abiding and eternal. Kurt, who died, still lives with Christ and will rise to life on the last day in his flesh. On earth, we who remain are still joined with our departed brother in the communion of Christ's church, where with all the company of heaven, the pure praise of Christ rings out from thankful voices forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.